Mark chapter 4, the fourth chapter in the Gospel of Mark. And we begin reading in verse number 1. And he, speaking of Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven." Let the church say amen. Father, I pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with thy spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people, and may you use the precious word of God to do it. If there's somebody in the building who does not know Jesus for the full pardon of sin, might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth today before it's eternally too late. And I pray you bind Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way he would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God. Do a great work that only you will get the glory for. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. You've often heard me say that I would have loved to have been alive while Jesus was on earth. I love reading what he said. I love preaching about what he said. I love teaching on what he said. I love talking to other people about what he said. But I would have loved to have been here to hear what he said. And in Mark chapter 4, there he is by the seaside. Gathered around him were multitudes of people. It always amazed me that Jesus knew how to draw a crowd. As a matter of fact, when you study scripture, you see he not only knew how to draw a crowd, but he knew how to thin it out too. Amen. They showed up because they loved his miracles. They showed up because they wanted to get in on his miracles. They showed up because he did what nobody else could do. But it wasn't long after he started speaking. It wasn't long after he started teaching. It wasn't long after he started rightly dividing the word of truth that they found out there's more to following Jesus than seeking signs. On this day, he's one man teaching many people. They're flocking him in such an aggressive way that he uses a ship for a pulpit. He gets on this ship, and the ship is in the water. The water serves as a backdrop as he preaches, and he faces the crowd. I've had preachers tell me of the great joy and glory of spending time right there on the Sea of Galilee today in modern Jerusalem and sharing the word of God. I've heard preachers say that the water serves, if you would, as a great amplifier of the voice. I would love to have been there that day while Jesus sat on the boat with the thundering waters behind him, and as he spoke forth truth like nobody ever spoke it. How many of you know today that the words of Jesus are paralleled by nobody else? He spoke parables. We read them all the time. They roll off our lips like Disney stories. They're just kind of little catchy little tunes that we put words to, if you would. Little stories that a parent would read to a child before he goes to bed. Just a little story that someone would read for entertainment. But I want you to know that in those days, nobody was telling parables just by the mere definition of the word. Nobody could tell parables. A parable was simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Nobody on earth could tell anything with a heavenly meaning because nobody on earth had ever been to heaven. But when that God man showed up, he was the only one that left the portals of glory, condescended to the mere muck and mire of humanity, and somehow he had to take what was so high and bring it down to people that were so low. And when he opened his mouth and began to speak parables, it was like the finite, limited, simple mind of mankind was open to the very oracles and the teachings of God. Wasn't it something of Jesus to bring heaven to earth? He was teaching a parable. So many parables in the Word of God. And yet this is one of my favorites. I got so many favorites. But here's another one today. This is the parable of the sower. I like how Jesus breaks it down. He gives us some discussion about the sower. He continues to give us discussion about the seed, but he spends most of the time not discussing the sower and not discussing the seed. He spends most of his time discussing the soil. Pastor, why didn't he major on the sower? And why didn't he major on the seed? Why did he spend so much time talking about the soil? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in this passage, the sower is represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sower. Can I tell you something about the sower? He's a good sower. Can I tell you something about the sower? He's a great sower. Can I tell you something about the sower? He's a gracious sower. Can I tell you something about the sower? He's a generous sower. Can I tell you something about the sower? He's a guaranteed sower. You see, there were human farmers that lived and died. There were human farmers that were limited by human limitations. But this sower, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't good sometimes. He's good all the time. He wasn't gracious sometimes. He's gracious all the time. He wasn't generous sometimes. He was generous. Oh, what do you mean he was generous? He didn't just sow in one place. He sowed all over. He didn't just sow to a certain type of people. He sowed to all type of people. He didn't just sow to people that were more deserving and were less deserving. He sowed to everybody. Aren't you glad that the sower in the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you never have to worry about the sower? Well, so we're about the seed. Well, the seed is the Word of God. Pastor, why didn't he spend so much time talking about the sower? Because the sower don't have any problems. Why didn't he spend much time talking about the seed? I'll tell you why. Because the seed doesn't have any problems. What do you mean? I tell you, there's something special about this seed. Amen. This is incorruptible seed. It liveth and abideth forever. You see, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of God shall endure forever. Forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and in earth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, at the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Peter said no scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. John said, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. James says it's the perfect law of liberty. It is a not lying mirror that always shows you the truth. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You've heard me say it 100 times. Only God could take 40 different men over a 1600 period time and produce a manuscript that is inspired, God breathed, infallible, can't fail, inerrant. It has no errors. All this Bible is a wonderful seed. It's a perfect seed. It's a precious seed. It's a prophetic seed. It's a preserved seed. It's a potent seed, a powerful seed, a preserved seed, a preeminent seed, a piercing seed, a penetrating seed, a potent seed, a profitable seed, a perfecting seed. Why didn't he spend time on the sower? Because ain't nothing wrong with the sower. Why didn't he spend time on the seed? Because boom, shakalaka, ain't nothing wrong with the seed. But there's a whole lot wrong with the soil. By the way, I'm feeling better. I really am. Something about that soil. And in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew's got it too. Jesus says, you can have a perfect sower and a perfect seed. But with perfect sower and perfect seed, it doesn't mean you're going to have fruit if you got flawed soil. Watch this now. Oh, hey, let me tell you something. I'm glad that the sower is perfect. I'm glad that the seed is perfect, but I'm here to tell you we're living in a day and age with a perfect sower and a perfect seed, but problematic soil. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is going to indicate through parable the reason why soil that gets sown into by the same sower and with the same seed produces different results. And this morning, I'd like to pose a question to you. What kind of soil are you? Because, now listen to me. Now the application here in Scripture is not just that Jesus would be the sower. By the way, the interpretive context of this passage of Scripture, the seed is the gospel. Come on now. And by the way, the gospel is in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is the gospel. Now, did you hear me now? The gospel is in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is the gospel. By the way, the best way to define the Bible is with the Bible. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare unto you the gospel. And here it is, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again according to the Scriptures. People say, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Well, that may sound good on sermon audio, but make sure you're not just saying it to sound good and you're actually preaching the gospel. I don't care how old the story gets, it'll never grow old around here. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel, and it's for everybody, but everybody ain't saved. Why? Because the sower, Jesus, has sowed the seed, the gospel, to all people. But those people represent different kinds of soil. Now, the further application for this message is that not only is Jesus the immediate sower in Mark chapter 4, but now that I am a preacher of the gospel, I become a sower on the ultimate sower's behalf. Somebody help me preach. I'm a sower. The truth of the matter is, you could call me sower pastor or sower Kenny or sower ball. The truth of the matter is, I'm a sower. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because there are people in churches all across America today who are sitting under a man who fails to realize he's a sower. Some people have become back scratchers. Some people have become entertainers. Some people have become noisemakers. Some people have become time wasters. Hey, let me tell you something. God didn't put me here just to have a title. God didn't put me here just to run the church. God didn't put me here just to make a lot of noise. God put me here because outside there's some soil that needs some seed. I'm glad as a preacher in 2018, I don't have to turn the news on and find me some seed. I don't have to go to the grocery store and find me some seed. I don't have to go to Congress and get some seed legislated. I don't have to go to a warehouse and get somebody to manufacture seed. I'm glad that I don't get the seed from Walmart. I don't get the seed from eBay. I don't get the seed from Craigslist. I don't get the seed from Amazon Prime. I'm glad that the seed that I have is right here in the Word of God. I wouldn't give you a pluck nickel for a pastor who gets up in a pulpit and said he don't got no seed. God gave him seed. What about the soil? How can two people leave the same service and one produce and one not? How can two people sit in the same church and one's growing and one's not? How can two people hear the same message and one changes and one doesn't? Is there a problem with the seed? Somebody say no. Is there a problem with the sower? Somebody say no. But there's often a problem with the soil. I want to preach on soil today. We got four kinds of soil. You're one of them. I said, you're one of them. And by the way, I'm one of them. Every day when I read this Bible, I'm soil. Come on now. When I hear the Bible, I'm soil. When I memorize the Bible, I'm soil. When I meditate on the Bible, I'm soil. And whether or not I apply the Bible depends on what kind of soil I am. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. He sowed some seed. It came to pass, verse number 4, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. In verse number 13 on down, Jesus will go on to explain or interpret the meaning of this parable. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So number one, soil is wayside. It's what I call distant from the action. Now, when I mean distant from the action, not the action of that's going on amongst population, because truth of the matter is, the wayside is the area that is treaded upon by all of the onstanders and passerbyers. It gets so trampled down, it gets so patted down, it gets so matted down, it has no growth. What's wrong with wayside soil? Well, wayside soil becomes casual in involvement. It becomes careless about importance and thereby becomes confiscated of instruction. I'll tell you what happens. Because the wayside has no depth to it, and because it's sitting on top, what does the scripture tell us? The fowls of the air come, and before it can ever germinate into the ground, it is stolen by the birds. Jesus told us who that dirty bird is. The thief cometh to kill and to destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Every Sunday, there are people that sit in a church. They hear the truth. The Holy Ghost convicts. The Word of God can change them. Jesus loves them. Yet before they can ever get the Bible into their hearts, that lying devil, 3 minutes after the service, got them talking about football instead of Bible. 20 seconds after they read the Bible, they're turning on television, and the devil confiscates instruction. You better be careful. You better be careful. You can go to hell straight from a church pew. Somebody help me preach. Well, I ain't going to hell. I went to church since I was knee high to a pup. Church membership never got anybody into heaven.
Well, I ain't going to hell. I was baptized at an early age. Baptism never got anybody into heaven. Come on now. I ain't going to hell. I taught Sunday school. You can teach Sunday school and you can teach it down in hell. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to heaven because of who your mama is, who your daddy is. Your granddaddy was a preacher. Your mama said your head was shaped like a preacher. Everybody said you had much promise in your life. That won't get you into heaven. Can I tell you, somebody needs to wake up today to realize that the devil is a liar. He's a roaring lion. He's a dragon. He doesn't want the Bible into your heart because he knows when the word gets in, the dirt's got to come out. Maybe today you have no fruit because you're on the wayside. You're here, but barely. You're in to say you were here. You want your head counted, but your heart never made it. You're on the wayside. I said you're on the wayside. Distant from the actions. Number two. He said the first one went on the wayside. The second one fell on stony ground. Now, wait. Don't miss this now. The sower sowed seed everywhere. Come on now. Don't you ever let a lying sower tell you that God only wants certain people saved. I wish somebody helped me preach. I'd like to carve out a spot and make myself very unequivocally clear to be anti-Calvinism, a.k.a. Reformed theology, a.k.a. heresy, a.k.a. lies, a.k.a. dog poop. I'm trying to tell you, anybody tells you that God only died for some people and the only way you can be saved is you, if God elected you, you're going to be saved. And if he didn't elect you and select you, you're not saved. Well, you say you're insulting the foreknowledge of God. No. I'll give it to you. God knew everybody that was going to get saved, but he's never caused anybody not to be saved. John 3:16 said he died for the world. Paul said to Timothy, he'll have all men to be saved. Peter said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I don't care where you're from, what color you are, who your mama was, what side of the tracks you were born on, what your criminal background looks like, what kind of accent your jargon has. Jesus died for the world. But some falls on stony ground. It's hard. Hard soil. The wayside is distant from the action. You say, I thought you said it was where everybody walks. See, in order to produce fruit, you don't need to be where everybody else is. You need to be where the sower is. Yeah. Amen. We got a whole bunch of Christians trying to keep up with the Joneses instead of keeping up with Jesus. The wayside's distant from the action. The stony ground is destroyed by affliction. No earth. Let's go down to Jesus' definition and explanation. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, watch it now, immediately, somebody say immediately, receive it with gladness. Well, write this down in your notes. Emotional in response. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And people shout in church and live for the devil before church is over. Don't get quiet on me. I'm preaching true. We didn't. This is not a masseuse parlor. This is a sower. See, immediately, watch this now. Immediately, they're happy about it. Some people enjoy church and hate life. You know why? Stony ground. Listen to me. Being a good Christian doesn't mean you're a happy church member when church is going on. Being a good Christian doesn't mean you shouted for 60 minutes or 90 minutes. And by the way, when we got something to shout about, we ought to shout about it. But when the seed really gets down in the ground, you'll be living for God long after the shout is over. Somebody help me preach. They're emotional in their response. But wait a minute now. They are empty in their relationship. The Bible says they have no root. Now listen to me now. Where there is no root, there will be no fruit. It may look
look good on top of the ground, but it ain't gonna bear fruit unless something is reaching below the ground. See, my friend, you don't get saved and you don't produce fruit just because you're emotional about it. The Christian life is not about regulations and rules. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the root comes. So then it's exposed to reality. Watch now. Affliction, persecution ariseth. Verse 17, are you there? Because every word in the Bible is inspired. I say every word in the Bible is inspired. Affliction and persecution. See, you have to emphasize sometimes on the what we would consider as parenthetical expressions in the Word of God, because people like to highlight and emphasize the parts of the Bible that agree with their choices. But listen what the Bible, take the whole phrase. He didn't say affliction or persecution ariseth. He didn't stop there. He said affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Uh-oh, somebody help me preach. See, if your leg hurt because you've been acting a fool, that's not for the word's sake. Come on, if your head hurt because you drank too much, that's not for the word's sake. If you're locked up because you told a lie, that's not for the word's sake. See, that's not persecution, that's judgment. That's not persecution, that's chastisement. See, that's not getting treated bad because you love God. That's getting switched at the woodshed because you disobeyed God. Now watch this now. He said, this kind of persecution arises for the word's sake. That means when your family doesn't like you because you live right, when your friends don't want to be around you because you love God, when your coworkers think you're weird because you don't drink, smoke, chew, and run with those that do, that's persecution for the word's sake.
And see, the stony ground, They get out of that emotional service. Hallelujah. And then they find out there's a price for living for God. And they go, uh-oh. Oh boy. Oh boy. I didn't know that if I did what I did in church out there, they wouldn't readily receive me. Youth group was fun, but talking about what I learned in youth group at the lunch table of a public school was not so readily. Somebody help me preach. I mean, talking to the sisters in the choir loft about the goodness of God is great, but talking to my sisters at the job doesn't go over. Come on, help me preach. I mean, praying in church and praying with church folk at the restaurant is readily received, but praying over food sometime around lost folk doesn't nobody want to hear. Dressing up looking like I love the Lord in the church house, pretty convenient, but dressing right when nobody wants to dress right doesn't jive with my personality. Stony ground. Preach, Pastor. No root. So trial, tribulation, and trouble come. And because, wait a minute now, the trouble wasn't what caused the fruit not to grow. The trouble was what exposed that the soil had no root. Somebody help me preach. Somebody said, I was just doing good and the trial threw me off. No. The trial showed you were thrown off. A trial never made anybody carnal, and a trial never made anybody spiritual. What a trial does, expose while you're going through it, whether you were it before it went through you. Somebody help me preach. Somebody say, trials just make you stronger. You can't get you stronger unless you stronger. So you can't get the girl till you get the guh. So you got to start with strong before you get the stronger. Pray that God make me stronger. Pray that you get strong. Then you get stronger. That's good preaching if I'm preaching it myself. So when tough times come, they're going to show you, show everybody else what God already knows, whether you're rooted. This is all in the Bible. Did I say emotional in response? Did I say that? Did I say empty in relationship? Did I say that? Did I say exposed to reality? Did I say that? Let me give you one more. Edgy. In reaction. Watch this here. This is all in the Bible too. The Bible says, immediately, isn't it amazing? Verse 17, they are offended. That word means they are insulted. They are scandalized. Nobody told me living for God would mean this. Wait. I didn't sign up for this. I wonder, it amazes me how many Christians act like when God lets them go through trials, like he gave them something they didn't sign up for. And I'm wondering if those same Christians are wondering how many times God sits in heaven and watch us act a fool and say, that's not what he signed up for. Now watch this now, edgy in reaction. Listen to me. A lack of rootedness in the word of God will make way for ultra sensitivity. Somebody preach. Somebody say I'm preaching now. You want scripture for it? Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Watch it when you're always offended. Somebody always hurts you. Somebody always get on your nerve. Somebody always picking on you. Somebody always against you. Nobody like you. Nobody care about you. Nobody notice you. Nobody treats you good. You fall in love with the Bible, and nobody treating you good will ever supersede the fact that God treats you good. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are clinging to the word which I've spoken unto you. I'm here to tell you that stony ground has no root, has no fruit, and has no other reaction to have but to be offended. People leave churches because they're offended and think they're going to go somewhere else and grow. And the same Bible from another sower offends them. They blame him and go to the next church. And then they go get the same seed, comes from a different sower, and they're offended. And before long, they become a specialist in having multi-churches. And they've never found one where they can grow because they've never awakened to the very simple reality that it wasn't the sower, it wasn't the seed, and it was the soil. So eventually they arrive at a church that doesn't sow seed with a person that's not qualified to a sower, and they post on Facebook, I finally found a church where I can grow. You're not growing. You're getting lied to. You're getting your back massaged. You're getting lavender put on you. You need somebody that'll get under the spout where the glory comes out and unapologetically, unadulterately stand up and preach. Not opinion, not political correctness, not convenience, not what tickles the ear, not what people want to hear. We were just right, downright, show enough, sow the seed. Amen. Mm-hmm. Wayside, distant from the action, stony ground, destroyed by affliction. You saw what it said, right? What happened to their stone? They have no earth, so it springs up. It don't sit there long because it don't have nowhere to go. Watch it now. Watch it now. I'm just nothing. I'm not growing. You better look in the mirror. If the seed's being sown. Number three, some fell among thorns. Read the book of Genesis when you get some time. Thorns are the result, Genesis chapter 3, of man's disobedience. Wait a minute now, don't you miss this. I know the sower is not the highlight here that he's talking about, but every stage we ought to remember that the sower knew there were thorns there, but yet he still sowed seed to everybody. You better be glad when you were thorny, God still sent seeds your way. You better be glad he still sends seeds your way. So wayside is distant from action. The stony ground is destroyed by affliction. Number three, the thorns are distracted by attraction. Preach, Pastor. Jesus, help us here. I'd be glad to. I'm not claiming to be Jesus. I'm just speaking on his behalf. Verse 18. These are they which are sown among the thorns. Watch this now. They hear the word. I know people that know more Bible than the preacher does. And they're about as carnal as the devil. 19. Cares of this world. Worldliness. Focus on worldliness. The cares of this world. Come on now, full of worry. Watch that. I'm too stressed to obey the Bible. Don't you hear it all the time? I do right, but it's too hard. Cares of this world. Watch that. I'd read the Bible more, but I'm working too much. Cares of this world. I trust God more, but I'm worried too much. Cares of this world. Come on. I'd get more involved in church, but I got too much going on. Cares of this world. Come on now. I tithe, but I don't have no money. Wait a minute. The tithe ain't your money. Amen. Cares of this world. Watch now. I'm too broke to pay Jesus what was his before I spent it. That don't sound right. I'd have given to the Lord, but I spent it all on Christmas shopping. Yeah, because I forgot whose birthday it was. Fixed on the world. I'm sorry, focused on the world, full of worry. Now watch this now. He said the cares of this world. Verse 19. What else did he say? Deceitfulness of riches. Watch this now. They are focused on the world. They are full of worry. Watch this now. They are following after wealth. Jesus says it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than it is to get a rich man into heaven. And he wasn't talking about money sending people to hell. He was talking about, by the way, God never had a problem with people having money. You, listen to me. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. All right, amen. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. We have to be careful with associating people that have money with people that aren't living right. Could I tell you, if your father's rich, don't you think he'd take care of his kids? Listen to me now. There's nothing wrong with people having money. This passage of scripture is not about people having money. It's about money having people. Riches. They can't chase Jesus because they're too busy chasing things. By the way, rich people aren't the only people chasing money. It's a lot of broke people chase money too. They never catch it, but they're chasing it. And so sometimes when you preach on the deceitfulness of riches, poor people go, well, I'm glad I know he ain't talking to me because I don't have no money. Yeah, but your quest to find it keeps you from enjoying a true, vibrant, wholesome, substantial, substantive relationship with Almighty God. Can I tell you, money will only make you have more money. The value of a man consisted not in the things that he have, but there's only one person that satisfies the souls of mankind, and that's the one who created you with that very void. His name is Jesus. Yeah. Focused on the world, full of worry, following after wealth, and then fixed on wants and the lust of other things. Guess what they do? All four of those things I mentioned, worldliness, worry, wealth, and wants, choke the word. Come on now. Could it be possible to be a member of Crossroads Baptist Church and get the Bible three times, four times a week and still not be growing because there's too much junk in the trunk? There are too many thorns choking up the word. Huh? Is it possible to miss the message because you got too much worry in your life? Wait a minute now. Listen to me. You come to the house of God on a Sunday morning and you'll get your head counted by the man taking attendance. But you can leave this building and listen to a message from the Bible and never grow because there's too much stuff in your life that's got you worried that you can't receive the truth. And let me give you one more, and I'm finished. Some fell on the wayside, distant by action. Some fell on stony ground, destroyed by affliction. Some fell among thorns, distracted by attractions. But I love this. Some fell on good ground, delighted by application. Somehow, that perfect sower got that perfect seed to go down into prepared soil, and it produced fruit. Somebody agree with me today?
I don't just want to read the Bible and study the Bible and memorize the Bible and meditate the Bible without applying the Bible. I don't just want to know how to quote it, know where to find it, and know how to find copies of it. I want my life to produce fruit. It's all based on the soil. We were talking just yesterday. Don't pick a church off the choir, right? Pick a church off the word. Oh, our choir jams. And yeah, and you leave out of there jammed up. It's good to have a good choir. But the choir ain't going to help you say no to sin tomorrow. The Bible didn't say, thy songs have I memorized in my head that I might not sin against thee. Thy playlist have I downloaded from iTunes that I might not sin against thee. Thy melody and harmony have I jammed to that I might not sin against thee. Thy Christian hip hop have I cranked to that I might not sin against thee. He said, thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word. Some of you ought to quit listening to so much music and start reading more Bible. Now run and tell that. Got more time for Facebook and no time to face the book. Time for these cotton picking video games. No time for Bible. Time for all this social media. Tweeting and texting and posting and chatting and snapping and gramming and all this mess. Whatever happened to getting back into the Bible? Whatever happened to greeting God every morning with good morning and letting God greet you? Whatever happened to the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I thank God for church. I thank God for concerts. I thank God for choir. I thank God for Christian fellowship. I thank God for Christmas get-togethers. But I'm telling you, nothing rivals the good time I have with my good God gathered around his good Bible. We need a revival back to the Bible. I wonder if I poll the audience of how many Christians read the Bible every day. I bet you ate. I bet you ate breakfast this morning. Did you talk to God? Well, I didn't have time. It's amazing. We do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. I said we do what we want to do. We can't stay up, but we stay up for foolish stuff. We can't get up, but we get up for nonsense. We can't remember stuff, but we remember foolishness. We don't like talking, but we talk about stuff don't have no business talking about. We're not joke tellers, but we tell dirty jokes. We don't like to spend money on stuff, but we got Air Jordans on offer. Help me preach now. I'm trying to tell you, we need to put God back at the top and prioritize the word of God. It changes lives. Delighted by application. Good ground. They hear the word. They're respectful of the source. Verse 20. Listen. They know how valuable the seed is. More to be desired than gold, yet than much fine gold. Sweet also than the honeycomb. Listen. Sometimes people won't receive the Bible because they don't respect the Bible. Is anybody listening to me? I said they don't receive it because they don't respect it. Oh, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 16, he gave his heart to God. Holy followed after God. Followed a daddy that was wicked. Followed somebody else that was wicked. But Josiah decided, I'm going to live for God. And there he is trying to lead a kingdom as a 16-year-old and doesn't know what he's doing. And then later on, all of a sudden, he found out by the high priest who was digging up in the rubbish of the temple that the high priest said, while I was digging up underneath all that rubbish, I found something, king. You know what the high priest said? I have found the book. And he took that book and he delivered that book to Josiah. And when Josiah read it, his heart broke. He wept. He fasted. He broke down. And he looked at the people and said, my, we've been messing against God. Guess what he did? He shut down homosexuality. Shut it down. He wasn't ugly about it. But he wasn't about to overlook it. He shut down idolatry. Shut down immorality. Shut down idolatry. Come on now. He restored worship. They had not done the Passover since the time of Samuel.
Traditionally, they weren't doing the Passover, but Josiah said, forget about what tradition says. The word says we ought to do it. He brought back the Passover. I'll tell you, there'd be some mamas and daddies and some boys and girls that would actually experience revival and love in your home if you'd quit Dr. Phil in your home and start Bible in your home and determine we'll not do what tradition says, we'll do what the truth says. Whether it is socially acceptable or not. Respectful of the source, receptive of the spirit, reproductive of the seed, brought forth fruit. I said it brought forth fruit. Listen to me now. Any soil into which the seed is sown, and if the seed germinates into good soil, I don't care where it is, it'll grow. I don't care what, listen, I don't care how many years you went to school. I don't care what kind of student you were in school. I don't care what the tests say your IQ is. You take the Bible and deposit it into your heart, and you let your heart be prepared, fertile ground into which it can germinate. I promise you, on the authority of Scripture and on personal experience, you will bring forth fruit. Reproductive. I'll write this down, I'll close. Relative to submission. Now this caught me. Because we focus on four soils: wayside, stony ground, thorns, good ground. How many of you want to be good ground? The only way you could get saved is for the seed of the gospel to enter your heart that had to be good ground. You're not saved because you heard the gospel. You're saved because you respect it, receive it, and thereby reproduce fruit. But here's what amazed me. Even among the good ground, the growth was different. Some were 30. Some were 60. Some were 100. So you know what it tells me? You can be good ground and receive the word of God. But even within that, growth is relative to how you apply it. Oh, pastor. Oh, no. I respect the Bible. Oh, pastor. When you preach, I listen to it. I take notes, and I go back home and listen to it again. But I'm still stuck on that 30. I'm still stuck on that 60. Hey, let me tell you something. You stick with the Bible long enough, you get to that 100. You know what also tells me? That you can't try to keep up with everybody else. Don't get mad because you heard the message and you got 30-fold out of it. And brother what's-his-name heard the message and got 100-fold out of it. Because you wait just about 3 days in the same church, you'll be at 100 and what's-his-name be at 30. Don't you try to decide how fast you grow. You just decide what kind of soil you're supposed to be. Because somebody's going to plant. Somebody's going to water. But God gives the increase. The interpretation of this passage is three soils that all heard the gospel, never got saved. That's the interpretation. One soil that heard the gospel and got saved. All four heard, only one produced fruit to salvation. And it was because that soil was prepared to receive it. If you're in here today and you're lost without Jesus Christ, could I tell you, you have heard the gospel. He died, was buried, and rose again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you die and go to hell, it will not be the sower's fault. It will not be the seed's fault. It will be the soil's fault. Nobody has to go to hell. You know what else I'm learning? That there are a whole lot of professors who are not possessors. Huh? They profess salvation, but they don't possess salvation. And they prove that their profession is not a possession because it has never led to production. And I'm convinced that some of us sowers are intent on getting bad soil to produce good fruit. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. But I'm just telling you that some Christians that go to church 3 times a week are not growing because they, in actuality, are not Christians. They're not saved. Many there be that will say, Lord, Lord. You better examine yourself. Make sure you're not saved because you got a card that says you're saved. You're saved because you accepted Christ as your Savior. And maybe you keep trying and keep trying and keep promising and keep going to the altar and keep failing and trying and promising and pull your hair out. Never can produce Christianity because you're not a Christian. Get saved. Otherwise, you're going to go in a cycle over and over again. That's the interpretation of Scripture. But the application of Scripture is this. Even after we're saved, we can have wayside, stony, and thorny tendencies that will not cause us to lose our salvation, but it will cause us to limit our growth. And you better determine that that same prepared heart that brought about the fertility needed to produce the fruit of salvation in your sin-sick soul must be maintained, sustained, and retained every time you are approached with the Word of God. Because God doesn't just want you to be a child of God. He wants you to be a spiritually mature adult for God that will not only grow in your own walk, but will become a sower that will cause other people to grow from the same seed. And there's nothing in the world like getting the seed reinforced in your own life by sowing it into someone else's. 4 different ones. I promise you, if Jesus is the sower, nothing wrong with him. The seed is the Bible. Nothing wrong with it. The problem is always the soil. The provocative question today, it's quite simple. What kind of soil are you? Our Father, I thank you. Thank you for the seed. Thank you for the sower. What are we doing with it? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved because I received the seed of the gospel and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I want to be good ground that receives the word of God every time it is sown. Would you raise your hand? God has spoken to me, Pastor, in some way all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Some are already coming to the altar. You ought to join them. You ought to join them. Mind the Lord. Listen, you're going to make some choice about what kind of soil you are. God's not going to make you fertile. You got to allow him to prepare you. One more question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely sure I do not want to go to hell. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely sure I don't want to go to hell. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody else? Let's stand together. All over the building, let's stand together. Father, would you bless the invitation time like only you can. Do a work like only you can. In Jesus' name.